The reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I might be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lewis, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. With faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thanks, Craig. Let's stop and pray for a moment. Father God, as we come to look at your word, we ask that you would speak into our hearts and minds. Lord, we long, we need to hear your voice. We know that without it, Father, we are left bereft in this world. And so we pray that in these few moments, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice with clarity, Lord. I pray that you would speak and guide, that you would encourage and strengthen. We ask it in Jesus' name and for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. So it's good to see you. Welcome to those who have come back off their holidays, and bless you. I hope you've had a good time of rest. I'm sure it all feels a little bit too far in the distant past now. But we have a kind of Trinitarian talk for you this morning. You have potentially three minds for the price of one. Gerwin and I are going to be tag preaching this morning. And I get to start, he gets to finish off. But our message today comes in part from Steve Martin, who wanted to expand on some of the things that he brought to the church meeting. When we sat down to plan out the preaching, this would have been an ideal day for him to be able to speak. But he's away with Rachel before she goes back to university. So we said, hey, why don't we put those three minds together and bring the message that he was going to bring. There were very close connections with what was on our hearts anyway. So it seemed that the Lord was stirring. So if you don't like the style of how we bring it, then you can blame Steve. And yeah, and if you don't like the content, well, you can blame him as well. But September is a funny time of the year, isn't it? Academically speaking, of course, it's the start of a new year. And of course, for our young people, it is the beginning of a whole new chapter in their lives, specifically those that are going to university. And you know, our prayers are absolutely with you for what lies ahead. And it's exciting and challenging, and there's so much that you have in front of you. It's great. But it feels like it's the beginning of a new year sometimes in church too, and with everybody sort of drifting away through the summer, and you come back, and this time, for some, it's a time where we can refocus and get on with the things that we want to get on with. For others, maybe they're still wishing they could have a lie-in. I don't know. You don't want to be reminded that they're back in school or in work. But maybe for others, it's a time of questioning. It's maybe a time of thoughtful look back over what's been achieved so far during the year and where we should be going next. And in a way, I kind of want to address all of these states of mind this morning. But in doing so, I want us first of all to turn our minds back to the beginning of the year. I don't know how many of you remember, but back in January, I offered up a verse for the year that I thought might be a guide for our activity as a church. And I shared a little around what I thought the Lord was saying to us. So you know what's coming next, don't you? Who remembers the verse? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? No? Wow. Pardon? Work for the Lord is with you. That was 2 years ago, but thank you for trying. I'll put you out of your misery, okay? Because I'm gracious. Do you remember this? Isaiah 6. Time to go. Time to go. I heard the voice of the Lord saying to me, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." That proves that my preaching is pretty ineffective. There we are. But we didn't put it on the postcard this year, and that's probably what it was. Yeah. But the challenge that I laid out back in January was that I really felt that the Lord was bringing us as a new aspiring community forward, and the challenge was for us to mobilize ourselves, to be committed to going for him. And we've spent the first half of the year focused on getting ourselves together and launching the new church. It's taken time. These things take time, and that's not a bad thing. We launched the church 3 months ago. 3 months ago to the day, 7th of June, 7th of September. So we are 3 months old. We're still a baby church, but hey, happy birthday for 3 months. Happy birthday. It may feel like we're a little bit older. Cosmeston and Emmanuel churches were a lot older. But Eden is only 3 months old. We're still at the beginning of the journey. A point that was reminded to me last week by John James in a pastoral moment. He said, "Simon, you're still a young church. You're still a young church." And I think it's really important that we remember this, firstly, so that we can maybe release some of the pressure that we might be feeling about what we have not yet achieved. There is a sense of that, I have to admit, amongst us. And I always remember Roy Kersley, who was one of my lecturers in college. And it was the day that we started, and one of the things that he said was, "God's not in a hurry, so why should you be?" And I've never forgot that line, because there is a danger that we can start to place expectations on ourselves that the Lord has not given us. And the danger with this is that we can start to become frustrated at not doing what we want to do, frustrated at not doing the things, but also frustrated with each other. And I thought John James's termite illustration, for those of you who were with us last week, was very poignant. He showed a picture of a house that had been infested with termites and literally had collapsed overnight. And it is amazing how quickly a house can fall if we allow destructive influences under the boards, if we allow disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment to creep in. In the end, they do lead to death, if they're allowed to breed unattended. And we need to get hold of such thoughts and bring them under the Lordship of Christ. We need to hold true to the revelation that God has given us through his word as a community. The truth is that we're just out of the blocks. The race has only begun. The best of what God wants for us lies ahead. And you know, you never really fail a task until you quit. We need to hold true, and it's perseverance, as the scriptures tell us, that develops character. And I love the quote from the best exotic Marigold Hotel. I don't know if you've seen that film. If you don't, if you haven't, get it. It's great. But I love it when he says, "Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not yet the end." And I just felt I needed to encourage us with those words again. And last week, we shared a scripture as part of the service, and it's just stayed with me all week. And I just wanted to remind you of this. "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead, I press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." And I felt it was important to remind us as a community this morning that the Lord is calling us forward. We're not there yet. There's still much, much to be done. And the challenge to respond to God's calling upon our lives is still upon us. If we truly want to see the kingdom come, and I'm making a big assumption here, that it's still what you want. Yeah? Yeah? Absolutely. If we want it, it is ours. But we have to commit ourselves to going after it. It's achievable, it's accessible, it's within our grasp. The kingdom, Jesus said, is at hand. So let's reach out and grab hold of it. Well, how do we do this? Well, Isaiah gave us the prime example. We place ourselves in the gap. We say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And in doing so, God then commissions and equips Isaiah to speak on his behalf. And once Isaiah had responded to the calling to go, it was God who led him on. It was God who instructed him. It was God that provided for him. It was God that empowered him to fulfill his calling. Isaiah was clear about what God had asked him to do. He was clear about his calling. And we need to be too. This is one thought that has just constantly been on my mind through this summer. It's held me captive. We need to be clear, each one of us, about our own sense of calling. I said this at the beginning of the year, that God has called us and he's affirmed to us that we are his and that he's got purpose in our lives. Each one of us is called. We can absolutely be sure of that. But the question is, to what? How do we do it? Where do we do it? And when? I wonder how many of us can, with absolute clarity, articulate our sense of calling this morning. It's an interesting question. Some of you may be able to articulate it precisely. You may be clear about the gifts that God has given you. You may be clear about where God is sending you or who God is sending you to. And you may be clear about when this is going to happen. For others, you may not know. You may not have the faintest idea what God is saying. It's true. Without that sense of calling or leading, if you want to use another word, how do we know where God is going to be at work amongst us? And right the way through scriptures, we see God communicating and telling his servants what they needed to do, how they were going to do it, where and when. And he will do the same for each one of us if we simply ask. So I want to talk a little bit about this and move on to some of the things that we want to share. How do we achieve this process? How do we work out what our calling is? I think there are a number of things that come into this, and I mentioned that that it's about understanding our gifting. It's about understanding the work that God has called us to go, the places that he is asking us to go. It's also about our availability and our willingness to go as well. And the first part of that process is understanding our gifts. The reading that Craig read for us earlier said this: "For this I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Paul was writing to a young man that he had trained up and released to the church as a pastor. And he wanted to encourage him. He wanted to strengthen him, because he knew that he was probably flagging. And urged him to remember that God had deposited in him much, and that what he had given him was sufficient for the task that lay before him. I was really saddened by the death of Robin Williams. I think he was an incredible actor. Absolute sort of genius in that respect. And one of my favourite films that he made was Dead Poets Society, if you remember that. But in it, he played a teacher who wanted his students to recognise that poetry was not just words to be theorised, analysed or synthesised, but it was a way of articulating the experience of life. It was about bringing something that was often on the inside out. And this is one of my favourite scenes.
A cat sat on the mat.
Congratulations, Mr. Hopkins. You're the first poem to ever have a negative score on the Pritchard scale. We're not laughing at you, we're laughing near you. I don't mind that your poem had a simple theme. Sometimes the most beautiful poetry can be about simple things, like a cat, or a flower, or rain. You see, poetry can come from anything with the stuff of revelation in it. Just don't let your poems be ordinary. Now, who's next? Mr. Anderson. So you're sitting there in agony. Come on, Todd, step up. Let's put you out of your misery.
I didn't do it. I didn't write a poem.
Mr. Anderson thinks that everything inside of him is worthless and embarrassing. Isn't that right, Todd? Isn't that your worst fear? Well, I think you're wrong. I think you have something inside of you that is worth a great deal. I sound my barbaric yelp. The rooftops of the world. W. Uncle Walt again. Now, for those of you who don't know, a yelp is a loud cry or yell. Now, Todd, I would like you to give us a demonstration of a barbaric yelp. Come on, you can't yelp sitting down. Let's go. Come on, up. Gotta get in yelping stance.
A yawp.
No, not just a yawp. A barbaric yawp.
Yawp.
Come on, louder.
Yawp.
Oh, that's a mouse. Come on, louder.
Yawp.
Oh, good God, boy, yell like
yawp. There it is.
You see, you have a barbarian in you after all. Now, you don't get away that easy. Picture of Uncle Walt up there. What does he remind you of? Don't think. Answer. Go on.
A madman.
What kind of madman?
Well, think about it. Just answer again. A crazy man.
Oh, you can do better than that. Free up your mind. Use your imagination. Say the first thing that pops into your head, even if it's total gibberish.
A sweaty tooth madman.
Good God, boy. There's a poet in you after all. There. Close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Close them. Now, describe what you see.
I close my eyes.
Yes.
And this image floats beside me.
The sweaty tooth madman.
The sweaty tooth madman with a stare that pounds my brain.
Oh, that's excellent. Now give him action. Make him do something.
His hands reach out and choke me.
That's wonderful.
And all the time he's mumbling.
What's he mumbling?
Mumbling truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Truth like a blanket that always leaves your feet cold.
Forget them. Stay with the blanket. Tell me about that blanket.
You push it, stretch it, it'll never be enough. You kick at it, beat it, it'll never cover any of us. From the moment we enter crying to the moment we leave dying, it'll just cover your face as you wail and cry and scream.
It's amazing. The teacher had faith that what he could see inside the student He made the connection with what was within and brought it out. He stirred up emotion and imagination in his student and stirred his gifting into action. And you know, God gives us gifts to fulfill the calling that he's purposed in us. We may feel a little bit like Mr. Anderson, like God has given gifts to this person and this person, but actually I don't really feel like he's given me that much. Or what I actually have to offer really is of little worth. And to a degree, it's right. We have an incredibly enormous task, and the vast sum of our resources is simply not going to stretch or be enough to complete it. Except that God somehow gives something of himself to us and takes the little that we are willing and able to offer and uses it and turns it into something incredible and unbelievable. That's what the boy with the fishes and the loaves found out. It's what the disciples experienced too. And it's what countless folk through the centuries have been witness to. And I want to remind you, as I remind myself this morning, the significance of our relationship in God through Christ. Jesus said that anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. God, Father, Son, Spirit makes his home with us. Jesus said, he who is greater in you is greater than he who is in the world. The deposit that is in us is greater than anything this world can throw at us. But when we turn our minds back to God, when we receive his forgiveness and commit our way to follow him, his will, he meets us in the going. He empowers us with his Holy Spirit, his presence in us manifold through our character, through love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. His presence equips us internally to be the people of God. Yet he also gives us the external ability, the gifts to complete the task, and there's some of them up there. Each one of us is gifted. Each one of us can be gifted. We can ask God for these gifts alongside our natural skills and abilities. And they help us to start to discern how God is going to use us to fulfill our calling. If you don't know what gifts you've got and you want to work that out, then come and speak to us. I genuinely feel like God is saying to me in this season, we need to be clear about this. And if you don't know, then I want to help you understand that. We have ways and means of being able to discern that. And I think it's really, really important for each one of us that we understand the gifts that God has given us. Because there will be places, people, circumstances that he wants to release those gifts into. Not only to edify and build up and strengthen the church here, but to see his kingdom come, to bring transformation into the lives of others. So I urge you this morning to fan into flame the gifts that God has given you. Pray for the opportunity to use them. Be confident in your calling. And as that good teacher in Dead Poets Society would say, carpe diem. Carpe diem. Seize the day.
They obviously wanted to hear you, but not me, Simon. It's okay. I'm going to be quicker anyway. I'm going to be about 5 minutes. If you can just look at this verse. It talks about the gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. So you've got three things. You've got your gift, which is what Simon was talking to us about, and that's what you are. And there's a verse which says this, that God, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them back. So you have a gift that you will never ever lose. It's part of your DNA. But these other words, service and working, that's more to do with The service is to do with where you use that gift, in what area. For instance, you've got the gift of teaching or whatever, but you might use that in terms of young people. As Johnny was reminding us earlier on today, 8 o'clock in his house tonight, another reminder for the young people. It's the area that you work in, and that's one of the words that's used. But also, it's when you use that gift. So it's who you are, it's where you use that gift, and it's when as well. And the Greek word here is the word energy, and it's how much effort you put in and when you use that gift. So when you've got all these three things that we were thinking about, Simon reminded us about our calling. It's our gifts, our service, our working. What we are, where we use it, and when we use it. And the whole three things together, our abilities, our passions, and our availability, all come together, and there's this little area right in the middle that's you. What you are, where you are, and when you are. So the three things together is your calling. And God has a purpose for you in your life. And God has got a work for you to do that nobody else can do. It's in your DNA. The interesting thing is this: where we use our gift and our passions can develop and evolve over time. Our availability changes as you get older, and maybe you work less, hopefully, and maybe you semi-retire. Then the when will change, and you might be more available. So things change over time. But don't assume that God will use you as he's always done. God is a God of evolution. And as he changes circumstances in our life, he changes how he uses us as well. There's a verse in Luke 19 about, it's a picture of Jesus, and he tells a parable about a man who's going off into a far country, and he distributes gifts, talents. And he says this: I'm giving you something that I want you to develop, gain interest, like money. So he says, I'm giving you a gift, you have to work at it. It's not just all supernatural and Holy Spirit stuff. You have to put the sweat in. You have to develop it. You have to work it. And when he comes back, there's one person, and he says this: well, I didn't do much with the talent that you gave me for two reasons. He doesn't actually say this, but this is what I believe is going on in the parable. He says, I was frightened or I was lazy. Because he says, I wrapped it in a cloth. And the word, the Greek word for cloth is a sweat cloth. So he put it in a sweat cloth. He says, I was lazy or I was frightened. And I believe this, there are people here today that have gifts, and you're either frightened to use them or you're too lazy to develop them. Stir up the gifts that are in you. But don't be frightened. Paul talks to Timothy, and we've read about some of the verses. It's a lot to do with fear. We're all frightened of getting out there, moving out there, as we've been thinking. There is fear, but we have to overcome that fear. I'm sorry that I've spelt this word wrong. It's security, it is. Did you hear about the security at the NATO summit? And did you see all the fences that they put up? Wasn't that amazing, the fences they put up? Did you see the news? Somebody got through? Yeah? Amazing. Somebody got through. That is an actual picture of somebody that got through the defense. You've got fences and barriers. God has a way through. Don't be frightened. Don't be lazy. Stir it up. Get on with it. Speak to Simon about your gifting, your calling, where you feel God's directing you. I love this verse. David served his own generation. You've got to serve your generation. Young people, you've got to serve your generation. Not my generation, your generation. God wants to use you where you are, in the culture that you live in. Not yesterday's culture, not tomorrow's, today's culture. I saw this in work recently, and it's something called inclusive design. And it really spoke to me about inclusive church. These people, this company, design kettles and things, utility things for the kitchen and so forth, for older people or people with eyesight, bad eyesight, and people with arthritis. So what they do is, to test the product, they put on special glasses so that they see differently, and they put on special gloves as if they've got arthritis to see if they can use the product that they've designed. And we as a church need to see how people see things that haven't got God or are journeying towards God. We need to somehow feel what they feel. And this is part of your gifting, to tailor it so that you feel what people feel and see what people see. Because we have a different worldview when we're religious. We have to put on the glasses and the gloves, which is exactly what God did. When he came to earth through Jesus, he says, I'm going to put on different glasses and different gloves. I'm going to know what it's like to be hungry, thirsty, tired, frustrated, frightened, so that I can somehow get alongside people and be inclusive. Jesus was the most inclusive human being that ever walked the earth. And you know, 12 clicks it was, wasn't it, Simon? It's going to come up in a minute. When Jesus spoke to shepherds, he talked about sheep. When Jesus spoke to farmers, he spoke about sowing. So when we speak to people about God, we have to connect and talk to them in language that they understand. Final slide. Can you see the tent? I put a big arrow there in the garden. This is from my bedroom window. You shouldn't report this bit, maybe. But you shouldn't take photos of your neighbor's garden in the bedroom. You might cut this bit up. So don't make a habit of doing it. But what's going on is this. They're camping in the garden. It's fun, isn't it? It is fun, camping in the garden. Is it risky? I don't think so. If you want to go to the toilet properly in the night, you've got somewhere to go. My daughter went to V-Fest recently, a festival. I don't want to tell you the stories of toilets. Okay? But camping in the garden, you're not taking any risks. Simon has had this title, Moving Out. We can't camp in the garden. As a church, we've got to go out there and take risks. Next week I'm going to be speaking on what's going on with the Islamic State and all the beheadings and the incredible things that are going on, and how that fits into God's plan and what's going on, and how we need to be praying into things like that. And use our giftings and our callings to get out there and serve God. And as a church, we can't camp in the garden. We can't just look after each other. While that's important, we've got to put those glasses on and those gloves on and feel what it's like outside the garden. The church is a garden, but sometimes you've got to get outside of the garden and know what it is to move out and move on and take risks and be vulnerable for God. Let's just pray. Lord, we bless every word that Simon preached. We bless every reading that has been read. And we thank you for the powerful cocktail of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together. We pray that somebody might be spoken to this morning about their calling and their gifting, their personality, their availability. Lord, help us to stop putting tent pegs down in the garden and to stretch them. Like God said to Israel of old, I'll stretch your tent peg. Let's do that, Lord. And as an inclusive, missional, vulnerable church, we pray for your power, that you will show us what our calling is and our gifting is, and we would know what it is to move out for you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.